Shalom, everyone. This is Elliot Schoenberg, International Director of Placement for the Rabbinical Assembly. Welcome to Chodesh Tov. Chodesh Tov, a joint venture of the Schechter Rabbinical School, Ziegler School of Rabbinic Studies, JTS, the Conservative Yeshiva, and the International Rabbinical Assembly. As you know by now, the purpose of these podcasts to regularly inform rabbis' current thinking in a wide variety of scholarship fields. Our guest today, Phil Ackerman Lieberman, the Assistant Professor of Jewish Studies and Law at Vanderbilt, and co-editor of a new book, A Jew's Best Friend, The Image of the Dog Throughout Jewish History, and the author of as well as The Business of Identity, Jews, Muslims, and Economic Life in Medieval Egypt. Phil will be talking about today Jewish urbanization under early Islam. I'd like to say that I've known Phil for about a decade. He's been a teacher of some of my children. It's great to have him here and looking forward to your podcast.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Elliot. This project, as you mentioned, is about Jewish urbanization under early Islam. And the reason that the population of Iraq that I engage in the book, or rather in this project, is so important is because scholars think that at the time of the rise of Islam, that probably 80 to 90% of world Jewry is actually living in Iraq, right? It's obviously where the Bavli comes from. And that population stretches back, as we know, from the destruction of the First Temple in 586 BCE, and probably telescopes all the way forward up until around 1949, where in the wake of the founding of the State of Israel, there's a kind of massive Jewish emigration from Iraq. And so at the time of the rise of Islam in the middle of the 7th century, that most of world Jewry is living in Iraq, and yet a couple centuries later, scholars think that that population has waned. And so we see it a bit about this time, the rise of the Mediterranean Jewish communities, of course, notably the Egyptian Jewish community from which the Cairo Geniza emerged, and as well as Jewish populations in Spain, and then eventually populations in Europe and so on. And so the question of what happened to this Jewish community in Iraq is one that ultimately I'm thinking of when I look at Jewish urbanization, because the consensus wisdom is that as Islam came on the rise, and Muslim rulers, particularly a dynasty that begins in the year 750 and goes through to the year 1258, called the Abbasids, who are responsible for founding the city of Baghdad in the year 762, as the Abbasids came on the rise and they established large cities, particularly Baghdad, as well as a few others, the Jews, in order to gain access to the quarters of power, moved to these Islamic garrison cities and then shifted out of agriculture, which was their major pursuit under the Sasanians, the Persians who preceded Islamic rule, and moved into urban crafts and trade. In fact, there's a book that came out this year from Princeton University Press written by two economists, Maristella Botticini, who's Italian, and Zvi Eckstein, who's from Tel Aviv University, called The Chosen Few, How Education Shaped Jewish History. And in this book, these economists argue that the Jews urbanized in this period with the rise of Islam and shortly thereafter because they had longstanding traditions of literacy and Talmudic learning, which gave them a kind of a comparative advantage. As Muslim rulers founded these new cities, Jews took advantage in larger numbers than the rest of the population because they had the skills that it took to excel in urban crafts and trade.
Were they recruited or they just happened by?
Well, scholars think that as Islam comes on the rise, as I said, that particularly Jews who want to gain access to the corridors of power, the Geonim, the Exilarch, and maybe some Jews who were involved in money lending moved to the cities in order to take advantage of these new rising cities. And in fact, we know when the yeshivot of Sura and Popedita that had been in the Iraqi hinterlands moved to Baghdad late in the 8th century. And it's actually about this time in the late 8th century that we see a Gaonic Takana arguing that even though the Talmud allows for creditors only to collect on debts from real property, that starting in the late 8th century, the Gaonim decree that creditors can begin to collect from chattel. And in fact, there's a tshuva, Gaonic responsum, which is, you can see the source, from a character by the name of Moses ben Jacob Gaon. And Moses Gaon rules in accordance with the Takana, and even says, since Jews no longer own land, since most of the world, Ruba da'oma, no longer owns land, that the Gaonim decreed that you can collect debts from chattel. Now, what scholars do from this, and you can see this in Robert Brody's Gaonim of Babylonia, The Shaping of Medieval Jewish Culture, a phenomenal book, that in light of this Gaonic Takana and the Tshuva of Moses ben Jacob Gaon, that says that Jews no longer own land, that this fits well with the idea of Jewish urbanization. That again, as Jews saw the advantages that the city afforded them, that they shifted out of agriculture into urban crafts and trade, and so they followed the money, if you will. So that's an attempt to answer your question, that they followed the money and moved to the cities. However, in my current project, I argue that the responsum doesn't have to be read this way, as arguing that Jews moved to the city, that it's possible that Jews did no longer own land, and yet continued in agriculture, or even lived in the rural periphery of Iraq without moving to the cities, and yet pursued trade and professions that are associated with agriculture, even without moving to the cities. You know, most obvious is as these massive Islamic cities are founded, affords an excellent opportunity to feed people there, and therefore, even if you're not involved in growing grain, you can be involved in milling grain, in the transit trade, and all kinds of associated occupations that are still, they don't require you actually to move to the city, but allow you to be involved in these kind of adjuncts to agriculture. Now, furthermore, the Gaonic responsum suggests that nobody owns land, but it doesn't say anywhere, even though scholars read it this way, that the Jews left agriculture. All it says is the Jews don't own land anymore. Now, if we look at the history of the land of Israel, we actually see in the Roman period some important transformations in landholding from small-scale land ownership to sharecropping. That is to say that over the course of the Roman period, large landholders started to appear to buy up land, and individuals, the Jews, became sharecroppers. And that's why we see the development of the institution of Arisut in Palestinian sources, and then subsequently we see it appear in the Bavli. And so it's possible, and in fact this is my reading of the Gaonic source, that as the Abbasids founded their cities, of course they needed food, and as they allocated land to individuals who became large-scale landholders who had the wherewithal to invest in irrigation, that the Jews shifted out of small-scale land ownership and into sharecropping, that they continued to work the land, but they worked that land in a sharecropping capacity instead of as actual landowners. And therefore, what we have is that Jews may have continue to be involved in agriculture simply as sharecroppers rather than as landholders, that they also may have shifted occupations, but that didn't necessitate actual move to the city and urbanization, but they could have persisted in the agricultural periphery and associated occupations. Now, all of this begs the question, what happened to the Jewish population of Iraq? Right? Because, again, the received wisdom is that the Jews moved to the cities, and then over time, as the Mediterranean becomes a kind of Islamic lake, that is to say, an area that's been unified by Islam, that long-distance trade becomes a possibility for those Jews in Baghdad, and they move west. The argument that I want to make in the current project, actually, is that as Islam came on the rise, that Jews living in the agricultural periphery did stay. Many of them stayed, although of course some did move to the cities to take advantage of rising economic opportunities there. But those that stayed on the periphery might have experienced a kind of waning Jewish life, and many of them perhaps took advantage of the opportunity to lower their tax burden by converting to Islam, and also became acculturated into Islamic culture as it penetrated the agricultural hinterlands. And therefore, what you have over time is not a urbanization and migration, but rather is a kind of assimilation, an atrophy of the Jewish population that had persisted in the heartland, the hinterlands of Iraq.
Thank you, Professor Ackerman Lieberman. It has been a delight to see you again and to listen to your current project. like everyone to know that this has been Chodesh Tov. This is your host, Elliot Schoenberg, wishing you all a good Chodesh. Thank you for being with us.